If you are turning in your Bibles to the page listed, don't. I would like you to turn instead to page 160, which is in the book of Romans. Late last night, I realized that the sermon I had prepared for today was not appropriate to this moment. And so this morning I came in and recrafted because of what happened yesterday morning. And so we are reading out of the 11th chapter of Romans. And this chapter in Romans is where Paul talks to the church about their relationship with Judaism. Because part of what had happened is that the church in Rome thought that they were better than their Jewish brothers and sisters. The church in Rome thought that they didn't need to have anything to do with the Jewish community. And so Paul addresses that. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I'm just going to take pieces of it because it's a long, extended piece. So I'm beginning in verse 1 of chapter 11. We'll go through verse 6 and then we'll jump. I ask them, Paul writes, has God rejected his people? By no means. I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Don't you know what the scripture says of Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel? Lord, they've killed your prophets, they have demolished your altars. I alone am left, and they're seeking my life. But what is the divine reply to him? I've kept for myself 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace, but if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace. And now I'm jumping to verse 17. But if some of the branches were broken off, and what they're broken off of is the trunk, which is Judaism, and you, a wild olive shoot, were grafted in their place to share the rich root of the olive tree, don't boast over being the branches. If you do boast, remember, it is not you that supports the root, but the root, meaning Judaism, that supports you. And finally, verse 29. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were once disobedient to God, but have now received mercy because of their disobedience, so now they have been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they too might receive mercy. For God has imprisoned all in disobedience so that he may be merciful to all. The word of the Lord. So this is my family Bible. I'm not sure how I ended up with it, but I'm glad. Maybe because I'm a minister, right? Who else gets the Bible? But I know this is my family Bible because it has some interesting things in it about my family. It has a fascinating story written in the back about one of my ancestors, Elizabeth Fitchett, who, along with her family, were captured by the British and Iroquois during the Revolutionary War and held captive. And it talks about their captivity and how they escaped and then walked barefoot, literally 200 miles, to freedom. But it also has inside my family genealogy. And this was given to my great-grandparents by my grandfather for Christmas 1905. So it's been around the block for a while. But inside, you probably can't see it, is genealogy. And it's several pages of genealogy. that starts around before the Revolutionary War and then continues to some of my older cousins. And there's a note, sort of a parenthetical note, saying, if you want to know about the Judsons, they got here in 1638. Here's where you go look. And so this is my family Bible. It helps for me to know who I am, where I came from, who I have been related to over the years. But let me ask, how many of you have a family Bible? Okay. And so one of the things I forgot to do was to bring one of the blue Bibles down. Does someone have a blue Bible? Grab it. Thank you, Jim. All right. So what I'm going to argue this morning with you, or we're going to talk about, is the fact that while this is my family Bible, and I was thinking about that late last night and early this morning, I began to realize that it's not just my family Bible because of my family history in here. It's not just my family Bible because the genealogy is there and the story of Elizabeth Fitchett is there. That this is really the whole thing is my family Bible. I'll explain. But this is an interactive event. So I want you all to grab a Bible out of the pews. Parents, if you can grab one and be with your children, because I'm going to talk about why this is our family Bible, not just mine, but ours. So grab one if you can find one. And so what I want to do is, if you will turn to the first page of the New Testament, which is page 1 in the New Testament, okay? And I just want you to hold that section. Okay, I'll give you a couple minutes to find the beginning of the New Testament and hold that section from the beginning of the New Testament to the end of the Bible. Okay? All right. This is our family story. This is the family story of everyone who has ever been baptized in the Church of Jesus Christ. This is what we call the New Testament. It is what contains the stories of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the letters of the Apostle Paul to the churches. It is the letters of Peter and John. It is the story of the early church. Folks, this is our story. This story tells us who we are as followers of Jesus of Nazareth. And so what that means is that this part of the story is ours. This is our family Bible. And so this Bible for me is not just those things. It is the entire New Testament. That's your story. That's the story, by the way, into which we baptize Connor this morning. That in his baptism, this story becomes his story. Now, keep your finger where you had it at the beginning of the New Testament and go to page 10 of the Old Testament. Much easier to find. And I'll explain why we're only in page 10. This is the story of Abraham and the Israelite people. That's what begins on page 10, Genesis 12. It is the story of the call of Abraham, where God says to Abraham, if you'll get up and go, through you I will bless all the nations of the world. I will bless everyone on the face of the earth. This too is our story. Now, across the centuries, Christians have argued that this isn't our story, okay? That our story is just that New Testament piece, that this Old Testament piece is not our story because it doesn't explicitly talk about Jesus. It talks about all these other people, prophet, priests, kings, judges, journeys, exile, return, Exodus, Moses. And while those things are nice, it's not really our story. But that's not what Paul says. Paul's entire theology, Jesus' entire ministry, is based in this story. Without this story, we do not understand who Jesus is, why he came, and what he's accomplished. And remember, Paul said that we are related to the folks in this part of the story. That they're the trunk, they're the olive tree. And this whole New Testament piece, we just get grafted in. We are the adopted children of the Bible. That they are God's chosen and beloved children, and the gift to them of that calling is irrevocable. That's what Paul says. Once God calls you, God never lets you go. We as the church didn't replace Judaism. Judaism is the trunk out of which our story comes. And so this is our story. Now, the easiest one of all is to go from page 1 to page 10. Okay? Little bitty section here. This is also our story. Because this is the story of creation. Of God making everything, of bringing everything into being, of creating human beings and breathing into human beings the breath of life. And it reminds us that every human being is created in the image of God. Every human being is created in the image of God. And so what this chapter reminds us of is not only are we connected to the Abrahamic faith through our adoption, not only are we part of this amazing family of God in Jesus Christ, but we are part of the human family. We are part of the human family. Remember, Abraham was promised that through him all nations would be blessed. Everyone on the face of the earth. And think about Jesus' ministry. When you know, let's be honest, Jesus was a Jew. I know it may come as a surprise to some of you. Jesus doesn't contain his ministry just to the Jewish community. Jesus goes outside of the Jewish community and he talks to these people called Samaritans who are considered to be enemies of the Jews, and yet he speaks to them, he welcomes them, he invites them to participate in this kingdom thing. He heals the daughter of a Roman centurion. The enemies of the people. Why? Because that centurion was a child of God, as was her daughter, his daughter. And so this is our story. This is your family Bible. It tells us where we came from, creation itself. It tells us how we got here through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. It tells us who we are now. Followers of Jesus of Nazareth. This is your family Bible. So where does that leave us? It leaves us with two things. It is a reminder that we are part of the great human family. And that in the great human family, there is no place for hatred of other family members. Let me be clear. in the great human family, there is no place for hatred of any other family member. Now I realize hatred has been around as long as human beings are around. The Jews were hated long before Christians came on the scene. Christians hated other Christians. My deceased father-in-law, Cindy's dad, talked about growing up in the hills of Pennsylvania, coal mining town, where you had Russian Orthodox and you had Catholic, and the Russian Orthodox youth would fight the Catholic youth and vice versa because they saw each other as heretics. There was hatred between these people. And there's been hatred of Muslims from the very beginning, from the moment Muhammad started to prophesy. There was hatred of Muslims. There's been hatred of people of color. Slavery, lynching, Jim Crow. There's been hatred of people in the LGBTQ community. I don't know how many of you saw on the news this week that Matthew Shepard, do you remember Matthew Shepard? That his parents never buried him in a marked grave because they were afraid that people would come and desecrate that grave. And only now, all these years later, has he finally been able to be laid to rest in a marked grave. Hatred has always been there, but it seems as if in this moment, hatred has found a new life. As I said, it's not new, but it seems to have just found this life that is churning out in the world. It's churning against all sorts of people. And we see it especially in what happened yesterday. When a man stoked with years of hate, just burning with hate, decided that he had to take a long rifle, an AR-15, and go to a synagogue in the midst of a bris, a child naming ceremony like we had this morning, and kill people he didn't know. And earlier in the week, a man with a weapon went to a black church and tried to get in, and he couldn't get in, and so he went, I think it was to a Walmart, and picked out people and shot them out of this deep, intense hatred for the other. Because, see, that's where hatred comes from. Hatred comes from fear of the other. But here's the secret, that when we see this is our story and we listen to it, we realize there are no others. They're all us. And we're all them. We are one human family. We may be different and speak different languages and worship in different faiths, but we are one family and we are all linked together. And so there's no place for hatred. The second place that leaves us is with what we're going to do in a little while. And that is, I'm going to invite everyone to come and bring their pledge forward and put it on the table as a commitment to the life and work of this congregation. And let me tell you what you're giving to. You are giving to a community that knows who we are. We know who we are. We are the Church of Jesus Christ. We are followers of Jesus Christ. And we speak that unapologetically, that we follow our risen, reigning Lord, and we strive to live out His love into the world. But we're also a church of open doors. We are a church that understands who we are, that we are everybody's church. We are a church in which everyone is welcome to come in these doors and experience what it means to be part of community. Doesn't matter what you believe or where you are on your faith journey, these doors are open. And because of that, this is a hate-free zone. This church is the place where anyone can come and find shelter from the hate that lives out in the world. And you can know that this is a place of safety and of love and of grace. So my challenge to you is this. During this week, as you go out, whether it's to the grocery store, to work, or to school, or wherever it is, when you go out, remind yourself that this is your family story, and that this reminds you and me that we are part of one humanity, one people, created and loved by God. And then treat everyone you meet with that idea in mind, showing them love, respect, and grace. And be a voice not for hate, but for reconciliation and peace. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that we are part of your ongoing story. Help us to live that story out as followers of Jesus of Nazareth, that we might show his grace, his mercy, and his peace to everyone that we meet. In Christ's name, amen.